Chapter 15.
It's not that big of a deal,
Naomi said, as we watched the lantern-wielding spellcasters head toward the location of the ceremony.
You've killed plenty of OLG members before, haven't you?
Sure I have. Never in this large of a group before, though.
All the more reason to be stealthy. Though this also complicates our plan. We can't possibly kill all of these guys before the ceremony begins.
We have to try. I guess in the worst-case scenario, we could at least cause a distraction and prevent the ceremony from starting.
That would be crazy,
Naomi scoffed.
We'd have every single enemy swarming on our position in seconds.
I never said it was a good plan,
I shrugged.
But it's a backup option. Just tread carefully, and I'll try to think of something better along the way.
Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Ada and Janine moving slowly across the buildings to our right, and I hoped they realized just how much the situation had changed. If worse came to worst, we were going to have to fight our way through at least 100 powerful magic users. All around the shipping yard was a 5-foot-tall concrete barrier, along with a 10-foot-tall chain-link fence that came to a head at a small entrance with 2 lanes, just big enough to allow a semi-truck to get in or out. And as Naomi, Leah, and I crept closer to the shipping yard, we came across our first few enemies. On either side of the entrance were 4 OLG cultists, and they all had their heads on a swivel as they looked around nervously for any signs of intruders. Please, as if that was going to keep us out.
This should be easy,
Naomi whispered, as she raised her hand into the air.
Wait!
I hissed, and gently pushed her hand back down to the ground.
We're out in the open, and your magic is going to light up the sky like a firework. We need to take a less dramatic approach.
Party pooper.
Naomi pouted.
Just trying to not get us killed.
I winked at the witch. Then I looked across the way and saw Ada and Janine were both standing atop the adjacent building, and they glanced down at the 4 guards below. Janine already had her hand behind her back, with her palm lit up with a soft, shimmering glow of gold magic.
She gets to use magic, but I don't.
Janine hides it a lot better than you do, I reminded the red and black-haired woman. Now, Leah.
Way ahead of you,
the polywarm woman said as her whip-like tongue slid out of her mouth.
Which one do you want?
I'll take the left. On 3. 1, 2, 3.
I quickly calculated my trajectory, and then I sprang over the edge of the building and pounced down toward the OLG cultists below. It took every ounce of my willpower to keep myself from letting out a powerful roar as I fell. But I kept my mouth shut as I simply unsheathed my claws and prepared to go in for the kill. At the same time, I saw Leah's tongue launch downward toward the cultist on the right. Her attack landed a few seconds before I did, and I briefly watched as her tongue wrapped around the right cultist's neck and jerked him upward into the air.
What the fuck?
The second cultist started as he looked up in the sky, and his face turned pale when he saw me approaching. I took a downward swipe with my right paw as I landed on top of the fucker, and the entire front of his head exploded like a gore-filled balloon. His warm blood and gooey brains splattered out onto my stomach as he collapsed to the ground, and I knew without a doubt that he was dead. I immediately turned to the right to make sure we hadn't been spotted, but all of my anxieties dissipated the second I saw what my friends had done. The cultist to my immediate right was now hanging a few feet off the ground, with Leah's tongue wound tightly around his neck. His face had turned as purple as an eggplant, and his head was slumped over to the right as he hung there, limp. Then, over on the other side of the gate, Ada stood proudly above 2 cultists. Their throats had been both completely slit open, and their wide, dead eyes were frozen in fear as they stared off into the abyss.
How about that?
Ada whispered, as she looked around and then ran over to my position.
2 in 1 shot.
You can thank Janine for that. I nodded up to the changeling.
Nah.
Ada smirked and tossed her hair back.
It was pure skill, love.
Right. I rolled my eyes. Go up and tell them all the coast is clear. I'll work on getting this gate open. Quietly, of course.
The succubus gave me a firm nod, and then she took off into the night sky. As she flew away, I turned back to the gate before me and started to look for the lock. Thankfully, this place was pretty old, and its security protocols weren't exactly up to modern standards. The only thing keeping the rolling chain-link gate in place was a small padlock about the size of my palm, and I knew I could crush the damn thing in a matter of seconds. I reached down, wrapped all 5 fingers of my paw around the edge of the padlock, and then started to squeeze them together. The metal of the cheap lock crumbled in my grasp with a raspy metallic crunch, and then I heard a small click as the locking mechanism snapped. The second I heard it was broken, I yanked the lock away from its latch, placed it gently on the ground, and then slid the fingers of my paws through 10 individual holes in the gate's chain. I heard Ada land on the ground behind me as I began to gently lift the gate off its latch and pulled it to the right. The gate let out a quick, shrill scraping sound as it moved, and my heart stopped in its fucking tracks. Thankfully, the old metal went silent a half second later, and I was able to get it open just wide enough so I could slink through without incident.
Do you have any idea where they're converging?
I heard Janine whisper behind me.
It'll be in one of the abandoned containers.
Naomi's voice answered.
Judging by the size of the fucking crowd that's here, it'd have to be one of the bigger ones.
Or a bunch of units pushed together,
I said, as I looked back over my shoulder at the three women. Leah finished her descent down the building's side as I looked back, and then she flipped up to her feet and strutted over to the group.
We're going to need a better vantage point. All these shipping containers may as well be a labyrinth from down here.
Way ahead of you,
I said, as I nodded to one of the stacks of metal rectangles.
Ada, why don't you fly up and let us know what we're dealing with? Everybody else, move from up there.
I've got a better idea, love.
Ada let out a playful giggle.
I'm gonna ride the big one. Pun fully intended.
The succubus pointed off into the distance, and we all followed her gesture to a large crane that sat at the very center of the yard. It looked like it had been in mid-move when its operators had called it a day, as a large red shipping container hung from its claw and was a dark shadow against an even darker sky.
Not a bad idea,
Naomi muttered, as she narrowed her dark eyes in thought.
But there's no way you can get up there without being seen.
Whatever do you mean?
Ada gasped.
It's dark out, love, and I'm wearing all black. You don't think my sisters will notice a large humanoid figure with wings flying up to the top of the crane?
The witch raised an eyebrow.
They'll be looking for that exact sort of thing.
Nobody looks up randomly in the middle of the night.
Ada rolled her eyes.
I can be up there before you even say the word unrealistic.
That's too good of a vantage point to pass up. Just try to...
Then a sly idea crossed my mind.
Carter?
Ada gasped as her green eyes widened.
Are you having a stroke, love?
What? No, but I just got an idea as to how we even up the odds a little bit.
Do tell.
Surely these cultists and witches have to converge in one spot as part of the ceremony, right?
Of course.
Naomi said with a nod.
What does that have to do with anything?
If they're all in one spot, I grinned, then they'll be easier to take out in one fell swoop, with a large, heavy object that could crush them all into a pulp.
Oh.
Leah whistled as she placed her hands on her hips and looked off to the crane.
I like where this is going.
Does anyone know how to operate the crane, though? That's not something they taught me in spellcaster school.
My friends and I all looked around at each other. But nobody spoke.
Damn,
maybe this plan was dead in the water before we even started.
I'll go.
Janine finally raised her hand.
You know how to operate a crane?
Leah asked in a somewhat skeptical tone.
No.
The redhead shrugged.
But I have changeling luck magic, and nobody else seems to know how to operate it, so I think I'm our best shot. How hard can it be?
I'm pretty sure you have to take a whole class on how to operate a 100-foot-tall piece of machinery.
136, to be exact.
Naomi nodded. And I gave her a confused look.
What? It gets boring here some nights, okay? What else do we have to do other than measure the items around us?
So what? Indiana Jones and Nathan Drake aren't afraid to take those sorts of risks. What sort of paranormal archaeologist would I be if I let a bit of undiscovered knowledge stand in my way?
Are you sure?
I asked one more time, as I placed one paw on the redhead's shoulder.
Don't worry about me, Carter.
Janine said with a smile, and she touched my arm tenderly.
I'll be all right. Besides, Ada will be right there with me. Unless you expect me to climb that ladder on my own.
Just be careful.
I frowned, and then I pulled the redhead in for a warm embrace. I held Janine tight for a few seconds before I finally let her go. And she looked over to the tall crane at the center of the yard.
You ready, love?
Ada asked, and Janine gave her a nod.
Leah, I'll call you the second we get a good vantage point, and then you can relay my messages to Carter.
Got it.
Leah gave the succubus a thumbs up. Ada walked over to Janine, wrapped her arms around the redhead, and then sprouted her wings. The succubus took a deep breath before she pushed herself off the ground, and the two figures disappeared into the night sky.
That crane will probably start making noise the second it boots up. I'm gonna go over there and protect it from the cultists who might hear it start up. You guys get up in those containers and use your vantage point to kill anybody who comes near, and I'll take out anybody on the ground.
Now there's a plan I can get behind.
Naomi grinned, and then she motioned for Leah to follow her. Leah and Naomi rushed off to a nearby set of shipping containers, and then began to climb up them like chipmunks on a brush pile. Meanwhile, I got down on all fours and let out a soft grunt, and then I dug my back feet into the ground and propelled myself forward as hard as I could. My lower body was already coming back up into a second stride when my front paws hit, and I continued forward with several leaps, bounds, and hops. The crane was only about 500 feet away, and I reached its base in no time flat. I slowed my momentum and skidded to a halt just at the base of the ladder, and I pressed myself up against it so I wouldn't be seen. Then I looked upward and watched as Ada and Janine landed atop the crane, and for a split second, I felt a wave of relief wash over my body. Of course, that was when I heard the distinct sounds of footsteps coming from my right. Two sets. I quickly turned, dropped down on all fours, and then slunk over like a hunting cat to the nearest set of shipping containers. The sounds of the footsteps drew closer by the second, until finally, I heard them just on the other side of the container I was using for cover.
You think we can really trust these bitches? A man's voice asked. Or do you think they'll turn on us the second they get what they want?
Have you got a better idea? A second man's voice sighed. That bastard of Bast is still out there somewhere, and we haven't really had any luck killing him. We need Kunzu's loyal servant if we want to slay our enemy. And those ugly hags are the only ones who can summon him.
Seriously, though?
The first voice grumbled.
I thought the Sisters of the New Moon were supposed to be a bunch of hot goths. They're all cranky old women, so we can't even get a good fuck out of them to celebrate.
Speak for yourself, the second guy said. I fully intend to get my dick wet after we kill that bastard of Bast, even if they're a bunch of geezers.
I held back the gag that had formed in the back of my throat, mainly so I didn't give myself away. Instead, I simply sat there patiently as I waited for these unsuspecting assholes to come around the corner and meet their dooms. I held my breath as they got closer, and I unsheathed my claws as my heart hammered with anticipation. A moment later, I heard them step out into the open space.
Hold on.
One of the OLG cultists gasped.
Who's that up on the...
Before he could finish his sentence, I sprang out from my hiding spot and slammed my right paw into the side of his head. There was a wet pop as his neck bent 90 degrees to the left, and he collapsed to the ground silently. The second cultist summoned silver magic into his hands, but I was way too fast for that bastard. I slashed my left paw across his throat, and a miniature geyser of blood splashed out onto the ground at his feet. The cultist grabbed onto his neck as crimson oozed out of it by the bucketful, and he took a few steps forward as he gagged and choked for breath. Eventually, he fell over onto the ground, where he promptly bled out. I didn't want to just leave these two bodies out in the open, so I sank my claws into their chests with a wet, schlunking sound, and then proceeded to drag them over to a nearby shipping container. I slid the door of the container open ever so slightly, and then I shoved the two corpses inside and gently closed it back up. Welp, some poor trucker was going to be in for a really unpleasant surprise tomorrow. Now that the coast was clear, I jumped up onto the container and then used it as a springboard to get up to one of the stacks that was 4 containers high. Thanks to my stealth abilities, my movements didn't make a single sound, and I looked to Janine and Ada to see they'd just reached the top of the crane. Then I looked across the yard and I saw my two other friends as they seemed to take out some cultists on the ground. I watched as Leah's tongue shot downward and yanked a red-robed fucker into the air, and she snapped his neck with a quick jerk of her appendage. The polywarm woman set the body down beside herself on top of the container, and then the two ladies moved forward. Atta girls. I got down on my knees as I tried to survey the yard from this new vantage point. The view from up here was much better, though it was still not anywhere near clear enough for me to see the entire landscape. However, it did allow me to see a few lantern lights off to my northwest, right by the edge of the river. I counted 5 in total, and I assumed this was another small patrol of cultists or witches who had been tasked with guarding the perimeter and making sure the ceremony went off without a hitch. They had no fucking idea what I had in store for them. I stayed on all fours as I bounded across the shipping container and then leapt over to another smaller pile. I repeated this process about 5 times as I snuck up on the bastards, and all the while I moved with the silence of a church mouse. Finally, I came up on the stack of containers just above my target. Down below were 5 men in red robes, all with a lantern in their hands. 2 of them were sitting down on the ground and passing around some sort of hookah pipe, while the remaining 3 were all facing in different directions as they guarded the area. Perfect. They would never see me coming. I took aim at the 3 standing men first, since they were all already primed and ready to attack. The two on the ground would need time to react, and by the time they got to their feet, it would already be their turn to die. I locked on to the standing man right below me, and then I took a deep breath and pounced over the edge of the containers. I unsheathed my claws as I plummeted downward, until I finally landed on the first fucker's back, hard. I felt his spine snap under the weight of my body as I hit him and forced his upper half to go parallel to the ground. The second standing cultist spun around and opened his mouth to probably curse me, but I quickly slashed my right paw across his face and tore the flesh from his fucking skull. I was just aiming at the third man when the two sitting cultists scrambled to their feet and began to summon silver magic into their palms, but I couldn't let them start getting shots off, or things were going to get messy in a hurry. I had to move quickly. The man closest to the river was nearest to me, so I tossed out my left foot and slammed it into his stomach. He let out a yelp as his body was launched backward over the edge of the levee, and he disappeared into the raging Ohio with an uneventful splash.
"You bastard of—"
the cultist on my right began, but I leapt over and stabbed my claws into his chest before he could get the words out. Then I lifted up the red-robed fucker over my head and threw him as hard as I could at my second enemy. Their two bodies collided with a fleshy thud, and both cultists went down to the ground. Next, I leapt over on top of them and heard a sickly crunch as I pushed the weight of my body down onto their chests. And before either of them could get off a shot of magic, I went in for the kill. I bit down on the first cultist's head, which exploded in my jaws like an overripe watermelon as his body went limp. As for the second guy, I stabbed my claws into both of his forearms, and then yanked as hard as I could in opposite directions. There was a dull pop as his arms were pulled out of their sockets, and then a fleshy tearing noise as I pulled his arms right off his body. Blood sprayed out by the pint as the cultist's eyes widened, and he began to writhe around in shock. I tossed his severed arms into the river as I spat out the bits of bone and brain in my mouth. And then I also quickly kicked both of the poor bastard's bodies into the river for good measure. I disposed of the other two bodies in the same fashion, and I sprang back up onto the top of the shipping containers. Then from behind me, I heard the crane start up. My heart stood still as the sound of loud mechanical whirring echoed throughout the yard, and I was sure the cultists were now aware something was amiss. All the way on the other side of the yard, I saw the distant figure of Leah stop in her tracks and pull out her own phone. I was way too far away to hear the conversation, but I was sure Ada was telling the blonde about everything she was seeing from her new vantage point. I looked around cautiously before I started back toward my two friends, and I closed the gap in a matter of moments, without any major complications.
"And you're sure that's them?"
I heard Leah ask as I approached the pile of containers they'd stopped on.
"Sure as anything, love,"
Ada confirmed.
"I saw them carrying the golden urn and everything."
"Does she know where they are?" I asked, as I climbed up onto the containers.
"She does,"
Leah said with a nod.
"Ada says she saw a group of Sisters of the New Moon carrying a golden urn with their heads all bowed as they entered a blue container on the northeast side of the yard."
"They were saying the prayer,"
Naomi trailed off.
"Fuck, they're further along in the ceremony than I thought."
"Are they clustered together?" I asked into the phone.
"They're starting to realize the crane is functioning. But yes, several of them have gathered outside of the container and appear to be praying."
"Then Janine knows what to do. Smash their asses and then we swoop in and take out the rest."
That's still suicide,"
Naomi said, as all the color drained from her face, which made her red lips stand out like a slash of blood on her pale face.
"We can't kill all of them with only one container."
"It's what we have to do," I frowned. "When the container drops, there will be chaos, and I know we can take out a lot of them during the confusion. You don't have to come along, but I'm headed over there to put a stop to this once and for all."
Naomi and Leah were silent as they exchanged glances, but finally Leah shrugged.
"What the hell?"
she said with a half smirk.
"We only live one life anyway."
"That's the spirit," I grinned.
"Fuck it,"
Naomi rolled her dark eyes.
"I guess if you all die, my sisters in the OLG will just hunt me down and kill me anyway. Might as well try to take a few of them out while I can."
"I'll be there shortly,"
Ada said from the other side of the phone.
"After Janine plays the most fun reverse claw machine game ever."
"Are you sure they won't scatter when they see the crane?" I asked once more.
"They're fanatics, Carter,"
the succubus reminded me.
"They won't move for anything. Not until Ichthygo is released."
With that, Ada hung up, and our plan was set into motion. The crane continued to whir into position as the three of us snuck over in the direction of the ceremony, and as we drew closer, I started to hear the voices of the witches and cultists as they chanted.
Dimite famulum tuum, o potens lunaris deus, offerimus tibi hodi hoc sacrificium ad placandos ingentes sensus tuos.
They kept repeating ad nauseam. I had no idea what the fuck they were actually saying, but I knew unified chanting in Latin was never a good thing. Like, ever. When we finally arrived near the container Janine had been talking about, the sound of the chanting filled the air in a dull, hypnotic drone. There was a small army of OLG cultists positioned outside the container, while it appeared the witches themselves were inside performing the ceremony. I held my breath as the cultists and witches continued their chanting, with their heads bowed low and their eyes tightly shut. The red shipping container slowly whirred into position, and every now and again I noticed a random cultist would open their eyes and look up at the approaching crane nervously. However, Naomi was right. They were too focused on the ceremony. I hoped they were ready to meet Khonzu in hell.
Guys?
One of the cultists finally asked.
That container's getting awfully close.
Shut up!
A witch hissed.
You are disturbing the ceremony.
What if it's the Bastard of Bast? What if...
If the Bastard of Bast was here, our brothers would have dealt with him.
Another one snarled.
Now focus or we're going to fuck this up.
The nervous cultist now trembled as he turned his head back to the ground and started the chant. But he kept glancing upward as the container started to hover over them. Finally, he stood up and let out a gasp.
Oh, fuck this. I'm getting out of here right now before...
One of the other cultists sprang to his feet, drew his dagger, and slashed it across the first cultist's throat. The man's eyes went wide as he gurgled on his own blood, and then he collapsed to the ground and began to spasm.
Nothing will interrupt our ceremony,
the murderer grunted.
Especially cowards like you.
Oh, I think it was about to be interrupted all the same. I waited with bated breath for the claw mechanism to click open, but after a long moment, nothing happened. I frowned in confusion and was starting to wonder if Janine couldn't figure out how to drop the container. Then I heard a whirring noise as the chains holding the container started to drop much faster than they should have, and I noticed a golden glow surrounding the crane and shipping container. Well, if she couldn't let the container go, dropping it at unsafe speed should do the trick. I was glad her luck magic didn't obey OSHA regulations. The killer cultist's eyes grew wide as his mouth fell agape, and he turned to run as the container descended toward him. He didn't stand a chance. The container slammed into the ground with an ear-splitting crash they probably heard on the other side of Cincinnati, and the air instantly filled with a sickly crunching noise, followed by cries and wails of agony. About half of the praying cultists and witches had been turned to pulp by Janine's attack, and now we had these idiots' full attention.
Welp, I said to my friends, over the roaring blood in my ears.
Here goes nothing.
My heart hammered in my chest as I took a deep breath, and then I sprang over the edge of the container and fell down onto the pavement below. The second I hit the ground, I heard a collective gasp all throughout the crowd.
It's the Bastard of Bast, one of them proclaimed.
Do not let him into that unit,
another cultist commanded.
We cannot let him foil our sacred ritual. North unit, keep praying. Everyone else, kill them.
I let out a roar, and then I bounded forward toward the red-robed assholes. A few of the cultists started to run out to meet me halfway, with their hands aglow with lunar magic, and I suddenly found myself being assaulted by dozens of moonbeams. Thankfully, I had some backup of my own. Another shot of silver magic rocketed past my shoulder and hit one of the cultists square in the chest. It surrounded his body in an instant before it lifted him up into the sky and began to swing him around violently. Then Naomi's spell used the cultist as a makeshift club, and his body knocked several more fuckers to the ground. At the same time, Leah charged into action. I saw Leah's tongue grab a cultist's hand, and then yanked it away just as he unleashed a moonbeam. The attack slammed into the back of another OLG member's head, which promptly evaporated into a pile of smoldering ash as he collapsed to the ground. Then I rolled away from a blast of silver magic and popped up to my feet, just in time to see an OLG cultist come at me with his dagger. I caught his wrist with my paw, squeezed as tightly as I could, and snapped the bones in his wrist like they were dry tinder. The fucker let out a wail of agony, but I quickly shut him up when I sliced open his abdomen and spilled his innards out at my feet. I felt a moonbeam slam into my shoulder, and I let out a grunt of pain as it singed the fur off in a circular pattern, all the way down to my skin. The attack would have killed a normal man, but to me, it felt like getting hit with a baseball-sized rock. I whipped around in the direction of the attack, stared down the cultist who had hit me, and watched as he just about shit himself in terror. His eyes went wide as he tried to hit me with another blast of silver magic, but this time I was prepared. I ducked down and let the beam shoot over me harmlessly, and then I charged at him with a snarl. I slammed my paw into his femur and watched with a smug satisfaction as his leg bone splintered in two and stabbed out the back of his thigh. As the cultist collapsed, I finished him off by curb-stomping his head into a wet pulp. Then another bastard came at me with his dagger, and I sidestepped his attack before I split him open, top to bottom, like a butchered hog. His eyes rolled back in his head as his organs spilled out onto the ground, and I kicked him away before I moved on to the next one. Ada cackled as she swooped in and picked up a cultist by his robes. The succubus held him in her grasp as she banked around, flew close to the ground, and then held the fucker's back against the pavement as she soared forward. He screamed as blood and bits of his robe flew out from beneath his body, and a smear of crimson trailed after him the entire way. Finally, he went limp, and then the succubus tossed him off to the side. That was when I heard a blood-curdling scream from inside the storage container. The OLG members must have heard it too, because they all stopped and turned their attention to the blue unit. More shrieks echoed through the shipping yard as the container itself started to shake and tremble, and then several dents were made from something thrashing around on the inside. One by one, the cultists began to drop to one knee and bowed their heads.
"What's going on?" I demanded as I ran over to Naomi.
It can't be.
The witch trailed off as her dark eyes widened.
It's free.
What? Who? It's Thigo? How?
I don't know,
the woman admitted.
They were only halfway through the ceremony and the instructions in the book were very clear that Ichthigo couldn't be released without... Oh, fuck.
What? Without what?
The last step of the ceremony is a blood sacrifice,
Naomi said, as the color left her face and she looked like she was going to be sick.
That is the official action that breaks open the seal.
Okay, I'm still not getting it.
Look around us, Carter,
Naomi said as she threw out her arm.
There's dead bodies everywhere.
The blood sacrifice has already been inadvertently performed,
Ada gasped.
Before the proper steps were taken,
the witch whispered.
The ritual was not performed correctly, which means only one thing.
He was unleashed, but they can't control him, I guessed,
and the witch nodded somberly. Motherfucker. Not only had Ichthigo been brought out from the netherworld, but he'd been brought out before the witches could bind him. So now we were faced with an out-of-control, potentially world-ending monster. And, judging by the sounds coming out of that container, he was hungry as hell.